Just Energy with naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise. We have learned from Einstein's theories that matter and energy are one. Physicists believe that all systems in nature have their own particular way of vibrating. From the swing of a pendulum to the waves in the ocean to the light that brightens the sky each day, each of these oscillates at its own unique rate. In the same way, things such as rocks and minerals vibrate very slowly and at speeds that are imperceptible to us. Living things such as plants, animals, and man vibrate faster and appear to be alive. The same holds true for every thought, feeling, event, or word we speak. Each has its own frequency or rate of vibration. What many of us don't realize is if we take everything in our own universe down to its simplest form, it is all just energy. Join Dr. Rita as she explores questions such as, what are we made of? Why do we get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? Call in and talk to her and her thought-provoking guests. Send us your questions and get the help you need to move beyond any obstacles or challenges that may be affecting your life, right from the source. So stay tuned and explore your possibility.
Hello and welcome to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise and thank you all for tuning into the show today. And so, as you may guess, this is a Friday before Halloween, so we're going to be doing a spooky show talking about ghosts and goblins and witchcraft and all those things that you associate with Halloween. And so today, I'm doing a live remote from the Haunted Horrors Paranormal and Film Convention. Now, this is being held at the Meadowview Conference Center in Kingsport, Tennessee. So if any of you are listening from the Tennessee area, North Carolina, Georgia, in those areas, I mean, Kingsport, if you're not aware, is by Knoxville, Tennessee, you know, where they got all the money. And it's a three-day event. You can come for one day. You can come for 3 days. I'll be here speaking. They have a number of people from Ghost Hunter, you know, the TV series, and Ghost Hunter International, who are going to be making appearances here, signing autographs, doing presentations. It's going to be a really fun time. And it's actually really a gorgeous place to just be and chill and hang out. Also, next weekend, as I've been announcing, is the History, Haunts, and Legends Conference in historic and spooky Jefferson, Texas. That is on November 6th, Saturday, November 6th. It's all day. There's going to be a ghost walk as well as a ghost hunt after the convention. If you're in the Texas area or Louisiana, you definitely want to come check this one out because it's spooky. Also, my medical intuition and energy medicine training program has been on sale all month, and you have till the end of this month to save big bucks on the training. Also, if you're interested in a private consultation from me, whether you get a medical intuition evaluation, have a psychic reading, get some wellness counseling, any of those things, or if you'd like to sign up for my newsletter, visit my main website at www.soulhealer.com. That would be soulhealer.com. So let me tell you about our first guest, because she talks about a number of different things. She talks about psychic abilities. She talks about ghosts. She's the author of the book Ghosts of Central Arizona. She has her own radio show, and she's also a practicing witch. And so I think we're going to spend some of our time, actually quite a bit of our time today, talking about the tradition of witchcraft, because we haven't ever covered that topic on the show, and I think it's a fascinating one. So let me tell you a little bit about Heather. Heather Woodward is an author, a clairvoyant, an accidental medium, and a psychometrist. Since 1996, she has performed tarot readings, paranormal investigations, and psychic profiling, helping others with her born-given gifts for over 12 years. Heather is the author of Ghosts of Central Arizona, a book about her personal experiences in some of the most haunted and supernatural locations in Sedona, Jerome, Cottonwood, and surrounding areas. So please welcome to Just Energy Radio, Heather Woodward. Hey, Heather, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for coming on the show, especially on this spooky weekend.
Yay!
I like saying it like that, spooky. Makes it sound spookier.
It is very spooky.
That's right. Heather, I think it's just so interesting that you're practicing witch, and I hope we can spend time talking about that, but let me start here. The practice of witchcraft is so misunderstood by people. Many of them have images, which includes my family, of women standing over a big cauldron, you know, boil, boil, toil and trouble. For clarity's sake, and to start to dispel some of the conceptions that people have about what this practice is, what is the practice of witchcraft?
Well, it's earthy. It's earth magic. It's using a lot of witchcraft. I mean, there's many just like any other religion. There's there's many facets, but really it's about honoring the seasons. It's about honoring the sun and the moon. It's about honoring the sky and the earth. It's about putting your intention out there. It's about manifesting. It's about being very aware of life and your own energy and celebrating that. So a lot of midwives used to be witches back in the day. I mean, and that's what it is. It's really about celebrating life. And so there's other aspects of those darker magics too, which are what we usually tend to see. But that's all few and far between. Most witches really are about honoring the seasons and the earth. And I mean, that's what the Sabbats are about. You know, that's why we celebrate, you know, Halloween. I mean, most Catholic holidays or most religious holidays are actually based around the Sabbats, which are, you know, every 3 months, every time of the year, there's the harvest, there's the winter time, there's the, like Easter is around the time when the crops are being reaped, and so it's fertility, you know, and then the maypole stuff is honoring the feast that you have during after the harvest and stuff. So I mean it's all very related to giving celebration for what we have and honoring, you know, time. So it's very simple, actually. People try to make it very superstitious, but it's not.
You used the word religious practice or spiritual practice. Now, I've heard of, you know, being a pagan as a religious practice or spiritual practice. Are these the same, or are pagans different from witches?
Pagan is saying like you're Christian. Okay, it's just it's an umbrella term. And then under paganism, there's different sectors of how you do. I mean, I'm a kitchen witch. So that's what I relate to, which is like I use a lot of herbs and a lot of oils, and I put my intention in them, and then I use them on candles, and you know I do a lot of candle magic, which is putting your intention in the candle with the herbs and the oils, and then lighting it, and then the lighting it and putting it somewhere where you can look at it every day and remember what you're putting out there, what you're manifesting. So. You know, there's a lot of a law of attraction kind of stuff that goes with it. But, you know, there's people that are more into the Celtic aspect of it or the Norse aspect of it or the Egyptian aspect of it. And that's all based on your pantheon or what deity you really work with. And, you know, most pagan religions really believe that there's like one omnipresent and then the pantheons or the deities are just aspects of that one person. And so, and then you use those aspects to manifest what you need into your life. So, I mean, if you're into Catholicism or you're Catholic, there's a lot of the same stuff where you have the different, you know, like the Virgin Mary and you have the different little statues and stuff, and then you pray to them for whatever intention you're trying to put out there. It's really the same thing. It's just that Catholicism seems to be more widely accepted and then paganism isn't, because it has the connotation that it's somehow evil or you can put curses on people and all that crap, which is not really how it is. Most witches are very loving and supportive, and they're healers, and they want to help, and they want to help Mother Earth too. So, and they're trying to work with the energy of the universe.
Well, you know, you were talking, and my mind's going, I don't know if, you know, Christians would necessarily agree that it would be the same. I mean, I hear the similarities, but, you know, anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Historically, what happened was is most people before Catholicism and before, you know, the missionaries came in, and before all of that, they were pagan religions. And what happened was, in order to convert the Indians here in America or convert other people in other countries, like in Spain, what they did was Catholics took the pagan celebrations and they overlaid them with Christian ethics or Christian values. So that way the people would feel fine about converting because they were still using the same model. So a lot of Catholicism is actually based in paganism, which people don't know. There's a lot of similarities. I mean, even like voodoo, it has a ton of Catholicism in it, because when the Haitians came over here as slaves, the only way that they could get them to convert to Christianity was by overlay. So, I mean, it's a lot of people just don't realize that a lot of what they practice is actually paganism. I mean, the whole law of attraction, the whole idea of manifesting, vision boards, all that stuff, putting your intention out there, writing on pieces of paper, affirmations, those are all based in pagan concepts.
Oh, no. I bet there's people quaking in their boots right now. Oh, my God. I'm a closet pagan.
Very Halloween-y.
Very Halloween-y. And one of the things that I said to you before we went on air, you know, I personally don't know a whole lot about the practice, and so if I ask questions that seem stupid, you know, excuse my ignorance, because I think there are so many people that are scared of just that word. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, saying you're a psychic. There are so many people that are scared. Oh, my God, you're a psychic.
I have to tell you, I mean, I read tarot cards for a living. That's mostly what I do. And I do a lot of psychic stuff. But the one thing that I noticed is there's this fear around tarot cards, too. And I'm always like, why are you afraid of it? And they're like, well, what if I get the death card? Or what if I get something bad? I'm like, that doesn't mean you're going to die. All it is you're taking the energy, you're reading the person's energy, and the cards are just a focus. And they're just, it's not set in stone. You still have free will. So all you're doing is just giving you a little impression of what's going on in your life at that moment. It's not like, you know, and of course, if you're psychic, you can foresee things are going to happen if you stay on that path. But the great thing is when you get a reading, you can change it. You can say, I don't want that. I am actively and, you know, being in present right now, and I am manifesting change. And I'm going to, you know, actively do that. And if you do that and you come back later, your reading is going to change because you change the outcome. And so there's actually, tarot readings are actually very liberating because of that, because you kind of see what's coming next and you can say, okay, I want that outcome or I don't. But people tend to take readings as like, oh, no, this is going to happen to me and that's it. And I just have to suck it up and you know, and once I explain that to people and once they kind of sit down and go through it, all of a sudden they're like, oh, my gosh, there's nothing to this. This is actually very simple. And I think that's what psychic abilities are, too. It's just part of ourselves, and it is very simple. It's just giving you that little edge so you know what's coming next, so you can make proper decisions in your life and not feel like you're a victim of life.
Yeah, and I mean, I think one of the benefits of, you know, getting a reading is getting clarity. And and correct me if this hasn't been your experience, but many of the times you do a reading for someone and they go, well, I already kind of knew that. And I feel like one of the things that we do is we're providing them validation from what they already know.
Yes, exactly. It's usually they're usually not listening to their own intuition, and so you're just bringing it up for them to say, hey, this is what's going on in your life. And so, but again, I think it's a little, you give people a little bit of empowerment too, because like, okay, I know it's going to happen. I know what's going on. If they want it to happen, then they work actively to make it happen more. And if they don't want it, then they start the process of changing it. So, you know, and sometimes it just gives people that little bit of insight that they need just to tweak something. You know, if they're having a little bit of issue with something and they can't see the forest from the trees, they're just like, here, let me clear the way for you. You know, and I think that's awesome. And again, you know, that I do tarot. It's not really a religious practice, but I do it as sort of, you know, as a healing practice or to help people, you know. So I always think of it that way, where I'm really just a facilitator for information. So,
but that's good.
Yeah.
It's all important.
Yes, it is.
Let me ask you this question. How did you become involved in this tradition in the first place, working as a practicing witch? You know, it's not the normal path that people just...
No, I was raised Baptist, too. I was raised High Holy Roller Baptist. I went to Christian school. I mean, my dad is very, very religious in that aspect. I don't know. Like, I was in ninth grade, and I actually had a friend who was a witch, and she was telling me stuff, and I started reading books on it, and her whole family was practicing, and I just was like, oh my gosh, this is my calling. Like, I just had that moment. You know, I'm 15 years old, but still, you just know. There was something about it. I was like, I understand this. This makes so much more sense to me than the other stuff. And so from that point on, I really just started playing with it and practicing with it and reading about it, and I didn't really get really, really very, you know, serious about it until I was in my early 20s. But by then I knew that was pretty much what I was going to do. I think it was, like I said, sometimes you just know. You know that you're supposed to be doing something, and I just sort of ran with it. That's how I am with everything, though. If I have this instinctual compulsion to do it, then I run with it.
Well, it sounds like you listen to yourself, which I think is really important.
I do, and it but at the same time, I still have, and this is the great thing about, well, it's a great thing about being psychic, and people just don't understand this. I mean, you can see other people's lives very clearly, but you can't see your own because you know you're in it, and you have the life lessons that you need to learn. And so it's always very interesting to me because I do have to listen to my intuition a lot, but sometimes I have that doubt, just like everybody else does, and sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Or I'm getting my own way, and I'm like, you know, and then you always have to continually, like, get your ego out of the way and say, okay, what am I really feeling? What am I really thinking? What do I really need to do? And it's, and that's one thing about psychics that people don't understand, you know, is that you do struggle. You struggle just like everybody else. You still have bad relationships. You still make bad decisions. You're still learning the lessons. And so you can see a little bit clearer than most people, but that doesn't mean that you listen sometimes because, like everybody else, you want the outcome to be what you want it to be. So.
And I think a lot of people have the impression, like, well, if I have psychic abilities, then I'll know that I should be doing this, or I'll know not to go stand out on that corner at 2 o'clock because that's when the bus will hit me. And when you're the psychic person, it still don't work that way.
No, it does.
It would be
sometimes
nice.
You get nice clues sometimes, like, hey, go this way instead of that way. But that doesn't mean all the time. If you're meant to learn that lesson and you're meant to do that, then it's going to happen, you know?
But it's still not, you know, but it's still not the trumpets and the little cloud with the, you know, the message coming through, or it comes up on your computer screen. I mean, it doesn't work that way.
No, it totally doesn't. It's,
but
again,
I think people really have that impression, though.
They do, yes. They think that you're all-knowing. And it's a little bit, it wreaks a little havoc on my love life, I have to tell you, because people or men tend to be sort of odd at first because they're like, oh my God, you can do these things and you can read and I see how great you are with other people. And then, you know, and then you become neurotic and you have your own issues with relationships. They're like, wait a minute, dude, you were so awesome with that person. You know, you're not like that in real life. I'm like, I still have a life. You know what I mean? Like, I can't see in my forest. I can't see beyond my trees. So, and it's always like, shatter. Like, oh, you're not perfect? Oh. So a lot of times when I'm dating somebody, I don't even tell them what I do because I don't want them to get the impression that I know everything or that I'm able to fix it or see everything. So.
Yeah, I'm on the totally other side because I figure if they can't deal with it right up front, then there really isn't a whole lot to talk about because, you know, if you're just going to turn around and run, well, I don't know that I want to invest a whole lot of energy. And then you can find out that I'm a psychic and you're like, okay, got to go, bye.
Yeah, I ease them in slowly. Usually I do. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes if I know they can take it, I'm like, here, let me just lay it down for you. But got to ease them in slowly. That's just been my thing. But, yeah. So it's an interesting life, I have to tell you. It's very, you know, I don't have a normal family. And, I mean, normal as in, you know, what most people consider a typical family. We're sort of weird. My sister and my mom read too, and it's just a very different kind of life. And we have kids, and you know we do holidays, and we have all the stuff. If you know, the kids still have to go to school, and we still have to put dinner on the table. You know, so it's very much like that. But it's definitely a different kind of life, and that's okay. And I think that is one of the things that I try to promote too, is that so many people are stuck right in this idea that they have to have this white picket fence kind of life, you know, like you have to keep up with the Joneses. And I think right now with the recession happening and everything, people are starting to realize that there are other avenues of life and how to live. And maybe the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence and the mortgage is not always the way to go. Maybe there are other ways. And I highly promote that, not because I'm against it, just because I feel that people are just very trapped. And a lot of times they decide that this is what they're supposed to do, and then they forget about their dreams and what they really are passionate about, and they don't take those risks. And I think almost what's happening now in the world is kind of a blessing in disguise because it's forcing people to actually open up and think about these other things and think about psychic phenomenon and think about who they are truly and be more present and aware in their lives. And so I'm digging it actually, but.
Well, I believe that, you know, we get the perpetual cosmic 2x4 and get our butts kicked enough, it forces us to have to take a look at what's going on in our lives in the general sense of the word.
Yeah, and it's almost exciting. I mean, I know it's a lot of people are, it feels like everybody's being sort of shattered right now, and you know, things are breaking apart. But I sort of, like, again, I see it as a blessing because it's like, wow, okay, you know, there's other things happening. And yeah, and it really forces you to kind of look within. And that's kind of some of my favorite things to do is to look within and go, oh, what's going on here?
So a little bit earlier, you made a comment about that you were brought up Christian, went to Christian school.
Okay,
there's you. But then you made the comment that your mother and sister also read. So was your mom doing readings while you were in Christian school?
My mom really came into her abilities in her early 50s. So, no. When my parents were married, my dad is still very, very religious, and he's the, you know, the God-fearing kind, so that kind of Baptist. And so I was put into Christian school and sort of, you know, went to Christian camps. And my mom is, when they broke up, my mom is more non-denominational, so she's a little more open about it. But I sort of said, I'm going to do this for a living. And she's like, okay. And then I was like, you know, you have these abilities too, because they didn't just get them from, you know, the ether. Somebody in our family, there's something going on here. And so I, you know, she started to become more open to it. And then she started to read and really start to do the work to become more psychically open. And my sister and my brother and my other sister, we've all been very psychic in our whole lives. We just sort of didn't really talk about it. And so, again, when I wrote the book and all these other things, it started becoming more open and we started talking about it more. And so it sort of shifted the energy in the family. Much to the chagrin to my father, but that's okay.
I was wondering, what does he think about this whole thing other than you're all going to burn in hell? I mean, I can't think of anything else he would think.
He grapples with it because he's actually more psychic than all of us, and he denies it. And that's where the bulk of my abilities come from. I mean, my mom is psychic too, but my dad is really the one he's scary psychic, you know, and he's very afraid of it. And so that's his cross to bear, and that's something that he's going to have to learn, and I accept him for that. And I also accept that he wants me to go to heaven, his heaven. I don't really believe in his heaven, but that's okay. And so I have to be tolerant of that, and I know that on the other end, he loves me, but he's not as tolerant because he doesn't understand it, and that's part of my lesson, you know. So we have a little bit of a strained relationship, and we just kind of don't talk about it. But and when we do, it's one of those things where it gets heated. But again, that's, I don't take it personally, I take it a little personally, but not as much as I probably should, because I know that's his problem. It's not mine. You know what I mean? I'm still, mm-hmm. You know, I told him straight out. I said, you can preach to me all you want. That's not going to change my views. You know, lucky for you, you taught me how to be independent and think on my own. So I'm going to go do that. Thanks. You know, So he's a lawyer too. So he knows how to argue like the best of them. But again, he taught us to be very independent and to stick up for ourselves. And so, you know, that's... You can't give people tools like that and expect them to conform to what you want them to believe.
And I think, you know, not just in your instance, but there are a lot of people that have the same, I'm going to say, kind of problem, whether they are interested in psychic phenomena or ghost hunting or UFOs. You know, they hit that energy of, quote-unquote, nonconformity, and have to deal with it within themselves and then deal with it in relationship to the people that they interact with on a daily basis, whether it's friends or families or strangers.
I find that I know this is what people grapple with a lot, and you're right. And I think what I've come to the conclusion is I find if you're centered and resolute in yourself, people tend to accept it more. If you're afraid of it, then people tend to react to that. But if they see you as confident and they see you as living okay and being prosperous at it, or they, you know, or really, really accepting it, they're more able to accept it because they see it as being successful. And so, I mean, again, I'm not really afraid of who I am. And I'm tactful about it, too. If I know there's somebody around that's really not going to be able to deal with it very well, then we don't talk about those things, and that's okay. I'm not hiding who I am. I'm just being considerate and compassionate. You know what I mean? And that does not compromise me because I'm okay with it. And so, and I think that's a great lesson, I mean, for anybody, is that if you're true to yourself, then nobody can take that away from you. And and I know a lot of people think, well, I have to be this and I have to own this, and that means I have to talk about it and blah, blah, blah. And you don't. If you're okay with it, then you're just okay with it, and people will see beyond it. And so, I fell into the trap. I did. I fell into the trap of, oh my gosh, I have to have a car payment. I have to work this corporate job, and I have to have this great house and all these things and more things. And I got married, and I was miserable and unhappy. And I was like, what am I doing? This is not who I am. And so I moved out to Tucson, and I just started that process of, like, grieving and really trying to figure out who I am. And so it's an easy trap to fall into because it is so expected. You know, there's
Heather,
a social...
The music's going to come up here in a second.
Sure.
So when we come back from break, why don't we spend some time talking about your book, The Ghosts of Central Arizona?
Sure.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm like going, okay, music can come up.
Where's the music?
Well, you know, you start dealing with funky internet connections because we're doing the live remote from the Haunted Horrors Paranormal Convention in Kingsport, Tennessee. And, you know, you just never know. There it is. All right, we'll be back with Heather Woodward from heatherwoodward.net after these words from our sponsors.
Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
Are you sensitive to energy? Want to explore the world beyond the five senses? Looking for a new career as an alternative healthcare practitioner? Then the Institute of Applied Energetics, Medical Intuition, and Energy Medicine Training Programs may be right for you. Our comprehensive curriculum provides students with a deep understanding of how to detect, evaluate, and transform the subtle body, as well as techniques for correcting energetic imbalances that may underscore a person's ability to experience radiant health. So if you are sensitive to energy, contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Visit www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and start your new career today. How would you like to live long and enjoy great health? How about creating solid bones and whiter teeth? Strengthen your heart and eyes and have radiant, youthful-looking skin. There is an ancient health and longevity secret that has been used for millennia in Egypt, India, and China that can help you achieve this. For the first time in the modern world, Pearlseum brings this ancient wellness secret to you. For more information about Pearlseum, visit www.productsforthesoul.com. Before we get back to the show, I would like to thank all of you for tuning into Just Energy Radio. Many of the people I've helped over the years were listeners just like you. If you're at a junction in your life, don't stand alone at this important time. Call me or send me an email. We can set up a private consultation so that you too can experience health, healing, and wholeness in your life. To find out more about the services I offer, visit www.soulhealer.com.
Now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise and we're here talking with Heather Woodward and we're going to talk about her book, Ghosts of Central Arizona. Her website is heatherwoodward.net. Heather. There are ghosts in Arizona?
There are lots of ghosts in Arizona.
Actually, when I was thinking about your book, I was going, well, you know, there is the whole mining thing, tombstone. I bet there's like a lot of dead cowboys and stuff out there.
There is, and the great thing about the Southwest is that it was full of hard times and good times. And so people really, really live to, like, the extreme. And so, and I think that creates a lot of the energy for hauntings. And so there's a lot of residual stuff out here, tons of it. It's just like the area is sort of full of history, literally. It's like it's I don't know, the energy is very weird out here because of that. So, I mean, you can go anywhere, and I mean, especially in Tucson. Tucson is, like, crazy. You can go just about anywhere, and you're like, oh, yep, it's haunted, just because of that. Because, especially the mining towns, because they lived hard, played hard. And there was a lot of fires, too. So it's, like, just extreme emotions and extreme events. So it just kind of holds the energy in the air, and you can just feel it almost crackle. It's great. If you're into ghosts, it is.
Well, you know, we're being spooky today, so ghosts, witches, spooky stuff, they spook me, personally. even though I do ghost hunting stuff, it's like, can you just turn that light on while I'm in here? Okay, yeah, there goes some ghosts over there. Okay, thanks. You can turn it back off and keep filming. It's all good. Well, people don't realize that if you're a psychic person, lights on, lights off, the ghosts are still there, and you can see them just as well with the lights on or off.
That is totally true. You don't really... Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. I mean, I go places and I'm like, oh, okay. And you just have to, I guess, be okay with it and sort of ignore it. You can sort of, you can't really turn it off, but you can go, oh, okay, that happened, and then moving on. You know what I mean? And sort of ignore it. And I tend to do that a lot. Because I'm like, something just moved. That's nice. Okay. What was I talking about again? You know what I mean? Because most people don't recognize or even realize that it's going on. So it's interesting.
I just jump. And then turn the light
off.
And then turn the TV set up. It's like, go spook somebody else.
Go somewhere else.
You know.
A lot of times, especially around here, a lot of times it's just residual energy and you're just picking up on it. And you're like, okay. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'll deal with that.
Is there a lot of Native American energy in
there is.
Arizona?
Yes, I just found out yesterday, I had a book signing yesterday at Borders, and I was talking to somebody, and he was telling me that there's this place in Sabino Canyon, which is in here in Tucson, and you can go out there, and there's Indian ruins, and you can actually hear chanting out there still, because they used to do so many rituals out there, and you can hear the drumming. And he says it's just like it's residual energy, but it's actually audible. And he said that he's taken people out there before, and they've heard it. And they've looked around, and they've done a lot of research to try to find out if there's anybody out there. And there's nobody. It can be day or night. It doesn't have to be just the night. So we have a lot of that kind of stuff around here.
I never would have guessed.
Yeah, and like, I mean, Tombstone is supposedly cursed. And so there's a lot of that around here too, where you hear about areas being cursed, and then that's funny because those are the places where you tend to see a lot of murders and a lot of these things happen, and then the ghost stories, you know, piled on top of that. So, the Native American history makes everything a little bit different out here as far as energy wise.
I mean, it's interesting because I'm in Kingsport, Tennessee, but right down the road, which is where I went this morning, is Jonesboro, something like
yeah.
that. Jonesboro.
Jonesboro, yeah, I know about.
You do. And it's the oldest city in Tennessee. And I'm walking around the little downtown area, and there was this one building which was, they had this newspaper, which was the first newspaper in the country that talked about the abolition of slavery. And it occurred to me, it's like, you know, oh, yeah, Tennessee, you know, this is a slave state. And
yep.
I'm like, well, I check in on that energy around here, too, because there's, you know, where you are, there's the gold mines and a very big, I would think, Native American presence and stuff like that. And where here, there's, you know, the Spanish and the French and the, you know, the colonists and the slaves, which I'm sure left a big fingerprint in this area.
It does. It completely changes the energy, and it changes how people react, too, in their own lives. I know everyone doesn't think that they're psychic or whatever, but we do react to subtle energies, and so you will react a different way when you're in that area. I mean, you will sense it differently. You will live differently. It does affect you. I mean, I'm from California, and I moved out here, but the thing is with California is California has this very watery kind of energy, and it's very more feminine, you know, and it just has a different kind of history. It's not as tough. People in California, there's a lot of gold mining and stuff like that, but they had the ocean, and so the Indians there, the Chumash Indians there, were much more relaxed because they just fished and they made baskets. Here, you have the Apaches, you know, there's a different kind of energy. It's very male, strong energy. It's more about purification. And so the Indians were different. They were more erratic. They tend to be a little more territorial and stuff. So the history is different, and therefore people are different here. California people are a little more easygoing. They're a little more open. Here people are a little more rigid. They're a little more extreme. And it's interesting because people just don't realize that that kind of stuff actually affects you.
But it does. And I'm not going off on this tangent, but I would assume that there would be a certain amount of, like, astral cartography. I didn't say that right,
yeah.
But which is, for people that aren't familiar with that concept, you know, you can have your personal horoscope, your chart made, and then they can do a chart for a location. And I would assume that there would be a certain amount of that, you know, the dynamics of that location playing on top of the whole thing, too.
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But it creates a great resonance for ghosts and hauntings because of that, because there is that extreme energy. And so it's almost like a feeding ground for it. I mean, there's some areas like Jerome that I wrote about in my book. That whole place is haunted. You can just walk through the streets and you can just feel it, and it's so palpable. You know, there was I had a funny little thing happen where I asked this guy, he was like a biker guy and he had a long beard, and I'm like, hey, do you know of any places that are haunted in Jerome? And he just laughed at me and he says, all of Jerome is haunted. Go anywhere. And I was like, oh yeah, whatever. But when I was there for a couple of days, yeah, he's right. I mean, it's just, it's rich. It's rich with that kind of energy. So, and you have these pockets of places like that here where you don't have to stay there very long to get it, you know. Anybody can experience it. Like, Jerome is a perfect example. If you want to go to a really haunted place in Arizona, go there. Stay for two nights. You'll have so many experiences that you won't need to have any for a while.
Is Jerome a small community?
Very small. There's only 550 people in the town. It's actually a mile up in the air. You have to go around this mountain, Mingus Mountain. You have to go around it to the top. The city is actually built on the side of the mountain, so everything is sort of sliding downward. We went to the cemetery there, and it's the cemetery, all of the tombstones are sliding down the hill. They're sort of hanging precariously off the edge of this cliff, and you can literally, on one side it's the city, on the other side there's a mile drop. So it's an interesting phenomenon just going there, because you're like, oh, am I gonna fall off this mountain? But it's more fun if you spend the night there, because I mean, then you'll have the experiences, too. So it's like this little cluster of shanty old houses and brick buildings sort of sliding off the side of the mountain.
It makes you just wonder what they were thinking building there in the first place.
Go ahead. I'll tell you, it was a mining town, and they didn't actually expect it to for people to live there. It was just mostly for the miners. And they had brothels and bars, and that's about it, and housing for these people. And then what happened was, is once the mining closed down, nobody left. So, okay. It was a city.
And the reason I asked that question was, in larger, and I'm going to say communities, I would think that people going there you know, visiting or living kind of overwrites the energy. As an example, I was in New Orleans recently, and you go down the street and all you get is that party energy, and you have to really go and look for the residual energy, because there's so much energy of, like, tourist stuff.
Yes.
You know, that kind of, in my opinion, overrode it, and so people are like, oh, go here. It's like, well, you know, 500 million, like the pyramids. You know, how many people have gone there, and will you really experience the original energy, or what are you just picking up, like, the tourist energy? I'm not sure what other word to put there, but yeah.
No, it makes sense. Yeah, you really have to kind of ignore it. You have to go, okay, I mean, and that's one thing that's hard to do, but after a while, you know, you get used to the subtle, more subtle energies. You go, okay, that's new. Ooh, this is not, what is this? You know what I mean? But, you know, energy is layered energy like that is different. You just kind of have to filter through it. And I'm sure you know how to do that. I mean, you're really awesome. But people don't realize that they're, you know, that you have to do that. You kind of have to go, whew. And you'll know, too, because old energy has this certain sort of feeling. So
yeah, it feels old.
It's like a musty book. It has a different smell, a different feeling, and it has this sort of electric feel that new energy does not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I love going to play. I love traveling because of that. I mean, that's the one great perk about writing books is that you're like, it's an excuse. I'm going to go travel today because I can. I'm doing something. I'm writing a book. So, you know, it's a little indulgent, but hey, what the heck?
Hey, but if it makes the book, it's all worth it.
It is totally. And that's some of the funnest stuff I do is just going around to these places and kind of looking around. And the one thing about my book that's a little bit different is that most of the places, well, about 95% of the places in the book are paranormal friendly. I talked to most of the owners. I went in there. I did the stories. So they're really cool about the idea of people going in going, hey, you got ghosts here? And I put directions and stuff in the book, too. And I think that's really important because this is a book for anybody who wants to go and travel. I mean, you can take this book and you can go to these places and you can talk to the people and they'll be totally open to it. And I didn't want to put too much in there that wasn't accessible because what's the point of writing a book about ghosts if you're like, oh, well, I can just read it in this book and that's it. You know, so I always try to be mindful of that.
I have a good friend, Mitchell Whittington, who writes books about, like, ghosts in Texas and stuff. And one of his things is they won't go on vacation unless they can go stay at someplace haunted.
That's
and
great.
That's what they do, you know. It's that, and they really, that's what they do. You also did a documentary, a ghosty documentary, Dead House.
I did. It's called Dead House. You can get it on Amazon.
Amazon.
Yeah, it is. You can buy a copy or you can just download it on your computer. I think it's like $2. It's really cheap, but it's a fun little movie. It's actually a good movie for Halloween if you're into investigating. We basically went to this house for 3 months and there was all kinds of stuff that happened and you should check it out.
But it's an investigation as opposed to a feature-length motion picture kind of thing?
Yeah, it's about 60 minutes, I think, or a little over that, and it's pretty much just 3 months of investigating, and you kind of see what happens along the way, and there's some really interesting things about it. The house had some history of witchcraft that was sort of interesting, and then along with that, we actually have a short called Nurse Nancy, which is 23 minutes long, and that's on there as well, and that one is really, really interesting. It's short, so, and you can, if you want to look up on YouTube, you can look up Nurse Nancy, and you can see that, and that is a great movie to watch on Halloween, let me just tell you, because everything that happened in that short really happened the way that it's, there's very little editing. People think that we edited, you know, produced it to hell, but we didn't. And there's some stuff that happens in that short that is crazy, and we still can't explain it, And people always email me and go, you guys made that up, didn't you? How did you do that? And we're like, we didn't do it. This is really how it happened. So check it out. And if you guys have any explanation as to how or what happened, please feel free to make comments on YouTube. You'll see there's a bunch of them who are like, you guys made it up. You guys are stupid, blah, 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 blah. Like, how did that happen? So we'd love to hear your comments about that, and especially about Dead House, too. We'd love to hear your comments about that. But those are great movies for the Halloween season that you'll check out.
Well, and I think because it's an investigation as opposed to a produced thing, people will be able to get, you know, you watch the shows on TV, and it's really hard in my mind to separate out how much is TV and how much is real. I mean, I know what the real part is, but I think for the average person, there's no middle ground. It sounds like that movie would provide people with, this is what it's like when you go on an investigation, like for real.
Yes, definitely. Everything is filmed with night shots, Sony. We did it all ourselves. It's very raw. People either love it or hate it because they expect ghost adventures. I'm like, dude, this is not ghost adventures. This is a real investigation. So, but people either love it or hate it because of that. And that's kind of where I like to be. I like it when people love or hate what I do. I don't want people to say, oh, yeah, it's okay. I want to have a reaction either way. So, like last week we got hate mail for my radio show, and I'm like, yes, we got somebody annoyed enough that they actually had to look up my website, find my email, and send something to me. That is absolutely wonderful. And they listened to the whole show before they did it. So I was like, yeah, you listened to me, and then you sent me an email. That is even better because I got to you. It doesn't matter if I got to you in a positive or negative way. It's the fact that you're listening and engaging, and I evoked a response. So hopefully we'll get some good emails and bad emails and not any mediocre ones, because I'm like, oh, I don't want to be mediocre. That's boring. But, yeah.
Your radio show. Okay, you mentioned it. Okay. All right, dish it up. Now you got me curious. And so what was the show about? And if you don't mind sharing your hate mail that you're so excited about.
I always like talking about this stuff. I used to have a radio show on Blog Talk called The Psychic Connection. We actually became syndicated. Now we're on terrestrial radio, which is on-air radio, on Fridays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's still called The Psychic Connection. It's on 1330 a.m. The Jolt. Honestly, we were just talking about psychic fairs, and we had one of my friends does psychic fairs, and we had another one of our friends who's a sponsor on our show on, and we were getting a little giggly about psychics, and somebody got offended that we were being so giggly about psychics, and they said, you're not being very respectful to your guests, and we're like, we're guests or our friends, and they're all psychic, and we're all psychics, we can make fun of psychics. And that's the one thing that we try to promote, is that this stuff doesn't have to always be serious. You know, at the end of the day, we're people too. And we make jokes, and we're not, you know, we try to promote this stuff, but we're trying to promote it in a way that's easy, you know, that takes some of the woo-woo out of it. And so I really like the comment, because it kind of let me know that there's still this stigma that all this stuff has to be so serious, and it doesn't. It can be fun, too.
I just can't even imagine how it could be serious. I mean, just from a reading point of view, you know, if you're so uptight about how you're coming off, then how can you have the information flow to you and through you so that you can do psychic work?
That is a great point. But it's such a great point. You have to be open. In order to be open, you have to be open to all possibilities, and you can't take yourself too seriously, because that's ego, and that gets in the way of the actual flow of the communication, so the channeling or the information. So, yeah.
Yeah. Are you still doing a Blog Talk show, or are you just doing your terrestrial radio show? What's the deal with that?
Well, we're going to be... And I'm working on this right now. My mom is actually taking over my Blog Talk show on Sundays. So it's still going to be on Sundays. She's going to be the new host starting this Sunday. And then what we're going to be doing is I'm going to be, and I'm trying to get the website set up for this, but we're going to be archiving both shows on iTunes like before, because I had some people email me and say that they were sad if my show was going to go off the blog talk because it is archived and they rely on the archives. And I was like, okay, I can't do that to people. So we're going to just archive both now so they can have a choice as to what they want to listen to. Because
and
I have
the one that you have that's on air, can people listen to it online or is it just terrestrial?
Yeah. So you can listen to it online. It's on 1330 AM The Jolt. And then also starting next week, we're going to have it archived on iTunes. So if you're on Blog Talk and you listen, you get the feed for Blog Talk for that show, you'll get both. You'll get the Sunday show and the Friday show. So that way people can listen to both shows. And because my other show, The Psychic Connection on Blog Talk that my mom is taking over, I had that show for 4 years. So I have, you know, there's a lot of listeners that are like, don't leave. I'm like, okay. So, and I'm going to be instrumental in helping her with it. I'm going to be producing it a little bit and I'm getting some guests and stuff. So I'm not going away. It's just we're moving forward. You know, we're trying to do something a little bit. Yeah. Just trying to get the word out there to more people. So.
And the show on the Friday show is The Psychic Connection also, except it's on a different network.
It's on a different network, yeah. It's on air. So, but again, you can listen to it online still. They have it on the World Wide Web. So that way, if you don't live in the Tucson, Mesa, Phoenix area, you can still listen to it. And I do have a lot of crossover. I do have a lot of listeners from my blog talk show that do listen to it online. So, which is flattering. I mean, I know you do a radio show too. You know, it's like, it's very flattering. We do this and we do it every week and we just hope people are listening and you get that one or two emails a week or whatever, or however you get. And then you don't really realize the impact that you make on people until you change it. People are like, what, wait, where are you going? So I was very flattered to know that I was actually helping people because, you know, it's so insular. Radio is so insular. You're either, you know, on your computer or in a studio or by yourself, and you just never know.
In your show, is it kind of a talk show? Is it a call-in show? Like if somebody wanted to call in and get a reading, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Is that?
We do all of that. I have two co-hosts, Rudy Cortez and Rachel Woodward, who's my sister. And we have a roundtable discussion. Sometimes we just have like tonight we're going to be talking about, funnily enough, we're going to be talking about pagan holidays. And we're going to talk about the All Souls procession. And then we usually do readings in between. So you can call in and get a reading from us. But I like the roundtable discussion because we all have different points of view. We're all healers and psychics, and we all do this for a living, but we all come from it from a different point of view. So people get to hear different ideas, and I like that, just to show that it doesn't have to be done in a certain way. You know, and sometimes we don't agree, and I think that's good too, because it kind of pushes the boundaries a little bit, and it makes people think. So the blog talk show is more of a just one-on-one conversational kind of thing. So you get two different kinds of shows now.
Yeah. Well,
and we're
going to
be doing psychic
up.
Readings on that show too. Go ahead.
Okay. Our time's up. It went so fast.
Oh, awesome.
And the music's going to come up. And so let me just kind of recap. Your webpage is Heather Woodward at heatherwoodward.net. And you're both booked. I can't talk now. Ghosts of Central Arizona. I'm going to make the assumption available on Amazon. Well, thanks, Heather, and I will talk to you soon. Happy Halloween, and we'll be back with our next hour guest, Paul Eno, after these words from our sponsors.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Ree Louise, will return right after these messages.
Balance in all things is critical to maintaining health. In the hectic drive of today's world, many of us forget to take care of our most important asset, ourselves. At productsforthesoul.com, we want to support your effort to nurture yourself. We offer a wide variety of herbs, supplements, and high-quality, ready-to-eat, all-natural foods. We even offer holographic chip technology products that can augment the body's natural ability to increase energy, improve sleep, and mitigate pain. Best of all of our products are delivered straight to your door. It's time to start loving yourself. Visit productsforthesoul.com and let us help you along the way. Take a journey to the dark side of the spirit world and meet the bad kids on the block in Dark Angels, an insider's guide to ghosts, spirits, and attached entities. Who are these bad kids? As a child, you might have met one at night, under your bed, in your closet, or down a dark hallway. Dark Angels is an adult dissertation about ghosts. It's filled with revealing information about how these dark forces can influence our lives. Order your copy of Dark Angels today. Visit www.darkangelsbook.com for more information.
Move past the crossroads in your life and discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at soulhealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationship, naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you. Bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit soulhealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming of.